All right, welcome into the Chris Collinsworth podcast, the off-season version, which just doesn't feel like an off-season anymore because the season just ended. But we've got our guys, Eric Eager, who's head of R&D here. We've got Brad Spielberger, our expert capologist that knows more about this league than I think I'll ever know between the two of them. Welcome in, guys. What's shaking?
It's a busy week, man. I keep messaging Brad asking what everything means, I feel like, and it just continues to be, it continues to amaze me, honestly, the amount of things that are happening right now.
Yeah, like you said, it's a full 12-month calendar for the NFL now, so all this will roll right into the draft at the end of April, but a lot of money being handed out the past couple of days.
It is amazing. And I guess to some extent, Brad, we probably should have expected it, right? Because of the jump in the salary cap and the decrease in the cap a season ago, which really locked down a bunch of teams. Did any of that carry over into this year? In other words, teams that had to do crazy things and now don't have as much money this year as they would have because they had to fix the books a little last year to get under the cap?
Yeah, 100%. They definitely pushed some of their problems out into the future, and a lot of that landed this year. There's even going to be some of that in 2023. But like you mentioned, just because they're expecting the cap to go up again in 2023 and beyond, they're willing to kind of spend and keep kicking that can down the road.
Now, in our wildest imagination, would we have gone into the free agency period and said, I know what's going to happen here. Mitch Trubisky is going to be the story that we're all talking about coming out of free agency?
I mean, I think that this has happened before, right? I think, you know, what was it, Chicago? You know, Chicago when it was the precursor to Trubisky, but like when they moved on from Jay Cutler, they originally thought to themselves, oh, you know, the guy to, you know, Mike Glennon's our guy, right? We're going to sign this, you know, previously failed, you know, sort of high draft pick, starting quarterback. And you know, we're going to move on with him. And we're going to at least get a placeholder in place. I think, you know, basically every team except for the Indianapolis Colts is at least at that position, right? Where they've got somebody in there who I guess if, you know, you roll the ball out in week one, he makes sense as a starter. But do any of us believe that this is going to keep Pittsburgh from drafting anybody in the first round?
Not at all. Like you said, when they signed Mike Glennon in Chicago, it was a 3-year, $54 million deal, but really was a 1-year, $18 million deal. And I think it's going to be similar with Trubisky in Pittsburgh, where, look, Glennon lasted 4 games. Maybe we'll set the over-under on that if they do take a Malik Willis or a Kenny Pickett. How long can Trubisky stay as the starter before the fans are just begging for that first-round pick to start playing?
And are you at all surprised that we have not heard the name Deshaun Watson? I mean, clearly in New Orleans, now Carolina, in Cleveland, we're starting to hear that name get thrown around, but not Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you know, I think it was interesting that Pittsburgh didn't jump into the mix there, especially because a lot of folks had mentioned that Brian Flores was a main driver for why he wanted to go to Miami in the first place. And now, obviously, he's the linebackers coach in Pittsburgh. So I thought that was a bit surprising for sure. I do think Houston apparently wants to keep him out of the AFC, and so they're trying to get him to the NFC. And also, you mentioned those three teams we were hearing about. Recently, it just came out that the Atlanta Falcons have thrown their hat in the ring. I don't totally get how they're going to try to pull that off. I kind of think they're trying to make it pricier for New Orleans and Carolina in that NFC South division. But yeah, it's definitely, I think something's going to happen in the next couple of days.
So then the next thing that comes into my mind is Baker Mayfield. So it is the fact that they are going to go through what looks like an interview process of some kind with Deshaun Watson, with Baker, you know, on the scrap heap, basically coming off of surgery, and he can't even pick up a football at this point. Like, how big of a problem is that for the Cleveland Browns if they end up having to go back to Baker Mayfield and don't get Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. It happened last year, but right before the trade deadline, Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross reached out to get permission from Houston to talk to Deshaun Watson, and obviously Tua Tagovailoa was in the fold there. And they were able to navigate it. I think he has, you know, kind of more of a calm demeanor, maybe a cooler heads prevailed there. But I don't think Baker Mayfield's going to take too well to that at all. You know, at the same time, he's kind of used to it. The former walk-on quarterback probably had to fend off a lot of, you know, competitors throughout his years, but I'm sure he's not going to be super pleased if they come back to the table for him, you know, after striking out on Deshaun Watson.
But did they get away with it in Miami? I mean, from, you know, almost the entire year, all we heard about was a fractured relationship. And if you're anything like me, you were probably like, a fractured relationship with Tua? I mean, how hard is that relationship? He seems like the nicest kid in the world.
True.
Yeah, that, I mean, it was one of those, and this is where, you know, I think that we spend a lot of time and people kind of gloss over it, but like we spend a lot of time looking at, you know, when general managers are hired, when head coaches are hired, when personnel groups are not in alignment, right? Like I was consulting with a, you know, a former general manager in the league who asked me point blank, like which jobs should I want? And I said, you know, you probably want a job where they also need the head coach too, right? Because we've seen it in Carolina where, you know, Fitterer comes in and Rule has the upper hand already, right? One of the things that made the Giants general manager job more attractive was they eventually got rid of Joe Judge, right? And I think that the issue in Miami was always, you know, the head coach and the general manager weren't in alignment, and that trickled down to the third most important, or maybe probably the most important, but one of the three most important people in a franchise, which is the quarterback, getting sideways with the head coach, you know, because it's not the guy that they all agreed to have, you know. And I think that, and similarly in Chicago, as Brad knows, with Justin Fields and Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, there was not alignment on those big decisions. And that leaves us with like these questions, which I think are natural, Chris, which is like, how can you not like Tua? I don't even think it's about Tua. I think it's what Tua represented, which was something orthogonal to what Brian Flores wanted.
You know, the other one that I keep thinking about is Cleveland at this point. So they make the deal for Amari Cooper. Allen Robinson's still sitting out there. They could end up with a couple of top end receivers after basically no Odell now and no Jarvis Landry. But it would be an interesting thing for Deshaun Watson to go, well, if you guys are serious about this, I know what you can do with your running game. I know what your defense is capable of and your ability to get after the quarterback. You have a good cornerback on the back end of this thing. You know, does that, if all of a sudden the Browns go out and sign Allen Robinson, does it make Deshaun Watson go, hey, if you guys are willing to do it, let's do it?
I mean, with that offensive line as well, it's definitely probably the most attractive landing spot of all the teams we've talked about so far. And I'm sure he's taking it into consideration. I'm sure he wants to go to a contender, or at least a team that he could make into a contender. And I think we'd all agree that you add Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns, they're probably an immediate contender.
The other, and if it weren't for quarterbacks, this would have been my headliner of the whole thing, the Chargers. I mean, you know, I don't know if this is like a sibling rivalry or what, but they did, you know, the Rams win the Super Bowl going out and making these huge deals. And all of a sudden, here we go, Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, Joey Bosa. I mean, that is a formidable bunch on the defensive side for them, you know, not to mention Justin Herbert and what they can do on the offensive side.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows, you know, we talk about the Bengals, you know, sort of doing it the PFF way, right, which is to draft a quarterback high, surround him with talent, and then, you know, figure out that he's good, and then fold in defense, right? And the Chargers sort of have done the exact same thing. They just did it in a turbocharged way, right? Which is they just draft Justin Herbert. You know, he shows enough as a rookie. Then you go and go Rashawn Slater, Brian Bulaga, Corey Linsley, Jared Cook. You re-sign Eckler and Allen. You know, then in 2020, you know, or 2021, as you guys found out in a couple of Sunday night games, like he's really good, right? And so then you say, okay, now we're going to take the rest of this bounty that you get for having a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal, and you fill in the defense, right? So then they go and get Mac and J.C. Jackson and Sebastian Joseph Day. And, you know, the crazy thing is they didn't even really, they haven't given up any draft capital either. They still have their original first round pick. So like they're doing exactly what we would tell teams to do, which is take a swing at the quarterback early in the draft. It wasn't a quarterback, by the way, that like we liked that much, which that I think goes to show you, like, just take swings, because the unpredictable can often work out in your favor. and, you know, build around him. And if you build around him, there's so much slack. You look at, you know, in their own division, Kansas City's scrambling because they can't keep Tyrann Mathieu. They can't keep Tre'Davious Ward because their great quarterback is on a veteran deal and they've made mistakes in free agency. And you, I mean, like some of these Chargers signings are not going to work and it's not going to matter because they have so many good players on that team. And I think to boot, they have a pretty good coach as well.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You mentioned Kansas City. Dallas is the other team. You know, I keep looking at these divisions and how we're building these super divisions right now. I mean, the AFC and NFC West now look completely loaded, depending on what happens with the quarterback situation. The AFC North is like, you know, I keep trying to pick out the teams that okay, who's for sure going to make it through and win their division. Maybe you like Tennessee with what's going on with Indy right now. Maybe you like Dallas with what's going on in the rest of that division. But there are some incredibly tough paths to the playoffs next year. But there are going to be some real battle-tested teams that come out of some of these super divisions that even if they don't win the division, you're not going to want to see them at any point because they've been challenged throughout.
Yeah, the wild card of the AFC West could be one of the better playoff teams in the entire league next year.
No question.
Well, and that was even like to the point of, you know, you think about how thin the margins are. George and I were talking about this in the forecast where, you know, let's say the Chargers win the game against the Raiders in week 18 or even tie it and get the playoffs. They're 10-7 or 9-7-1. They have the same record as the Bengals who made the Super Bowl, right? Like, and they're equipped with basically the same sort of assets that the Bengals had in making that run, which is a great young quarterback, weapons, a defense that's figuring it out. And that's the thing. And I think that that's part of the reason, for example, that Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady decided to come back to the NFC because, I mean, the exact opposite is true. I mean, those teams, you know, you think about Brady's decision. It's like, well, the path to the Super Bowl went from 16 games, a bye, and two playoff games to, for the most part now, 17 games, no bye, and, you know, three playoff games. But in the NFC, it's almost like, you know, the Rams, the Packers, and the Bucks, it's like, you know, those teams can almost be like NBA teams and rest starters for a great deal of the season because of how weak that conference is.
Totally agree. I wrote down some of the names. Those are the three I put at the top of the list. And then after that, it's like Arizona, Dallas, Minnesota, which I don't love, San Francisco. Now who knows with their quarterback, but that's like the next tier. And then you go to the AFC. So I've got three top tier teams, Tampa, Green Bay, and the Rams in the NFC. In the AFC, I almost had to eliminate teams. I mean, I think you start with Buffalo for next year, Kansas City, Cincinnati, Denver. You got to say Denver now with Russell Wilson. I mean, he's got to be in that top tier. The Chargers got to be there. Tennessee had the best record in the AFC. So I'm sitting there, I almost have my playoff filled, and I've got those are all like top tier teams, and no Cleveland, no Raiders, no Pittsburgh, no Baltimore, no Indy, no Pats who are in the playoffs. I mean, it is a very, it's a thin NFC as we sit today. But I have also been a part of many of these things where you go, man, it sure looks this way at the end of free agency. And then all of a sudden we get into the season and it's upside down.
Yeah.
The draft could be huge. but I would say Dallas and Arizona have been losers so far in free agency too. I mean, Randy Gregory just bailed to go to Denver after apparently signing with Dallas. Arizona kind of loses a bunch of players, brings back James Conner on a huge deal. Both of those teams, I think, got worse so far in free agency.
Yeah, I think that the crazy thing is even if you look, the crazy thing is when even if you look at the AFC, you can almost ignore the AFC South. You can almost ignore the AFC North. You can't really ignore because I think Baltimore and Cincy are both going to be good. And you can make a case for the Browns. If you looked at team, you know, player 2 to 53, the Browns are pretty damn good too. But it's really just a few divisions even, right? You even look at the AFC East and you're thinking, okay, Patriots, Dolphins, those were two teams with winning records last year. Obviously, the Bills, I think, are the Bills are the favorite to win the Super Bowl right now in the betting markets. Like, they're an absolute house, and they're every single year they're a model in my opinion for how to build a team. And then, you know, they have the AFC West, which, you know, even the worst team in that division made the playoffs last year. It's almost concentrated on just a random few divisions. You almost feel like you would want to put, you know, pile like the chart, like give the Chargers the AFC South and you know, let Zach Wilson have a chance in the, you know, AFC North or something like that, because, you know, there are just so many top, you know, there are just teams that you wonder, do they even have a shot this year, even if they improve? Like, I think of the Jets. Like, I think the Jets could very well improve this year and, you know, not even come close to sniffing the playoffs just because of the sheer number of teams ahead of them.
Yeah, Dallas is an interesting one. And you talked a little bit about Randy Gregory, but they do sign DeMarcus Lawrence. They trade Amari Cooper. They sign Michael Gallup coming off of the injury. But I still have a hard time. You want to pick out a team other than Dallas that's going to win that division?
Well, Philly? I know they're not apparently in the sweepstakes now, but I'm still convinced there's a small chance Philadelphia jumps into the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes as well with those three first round picks. But I hear you. The Giants and Washington are not scaring me at all in that division.
Yeah. But here's the thing though. The Giants, the Giants aren't that far away, are they? Like, they, I think that we're going to see the big impact of coaching on that particular team. If Dable has a clue, I think that team can be okay. Good enough to get into that group that Chris talked about, which is Minnesota, Dallas, Arizona. Like, if you look at the Giants roster, you know, they need to shore up the offensive line, but they have weapons. I mean, Tony, Galladay, Shepard, Slayton, you know, the tight end position, now they're down two guys, running back and Barkley, they might get a sub draft pick for him. And then defensively, I actually think that they're fine defensively. They probably need a pass rusher on the edge, but like, if you're looking for dark horses to bet on, and I'm looking at the markets right now, if you look at the NFC East, if you're looking for a good bet, I think the Giants at 7-1, it actually was like 10-1 just a week ago. The Giants at 7-1 is probably your best long shot division winner bet on the market right now.
Yeah, no, I don't hate that at all. They need health too, which we know is pretty random. So if they just have, you know, some better luck there next year, I guess you're right. And a coaching change that hopefully is a positive one. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Well, the Chris Collinsworth podcast is sponsored by Western and Southern Financial Group. Gotta love them. When you focus on all your roster moves that you're making for fantasy football, I'll leave it to Western and Southern to help advance your money moves. If you're buying your first home, planning to start a family, wondering how to make your money grow, don't we all? Well, Western and Southern's playbook of life insurance, investment, and retirement solutions help you rest assured on game day. So team up to understand needs and address goals with a game plan built just for you. Get started at westernsouthern.com/PFF. Right now, you can get 30% off any PFF subscription if you use code FREEAGENCY30. That is code FREEAGENCY30. Now, what are you going to get with the PFF subscription? Well, all of PFF's locked article content, of course, the NFL draft guide, which you are not going to believe, but over 1,000 pages, has stuff on everybody, that even the guys who won't get drafted, completely unlocked the mock draft simulator, which is so much fun to play with. The 2022 free agent rankings, and that's more valuable than ever right now. Data and grades from the entire 2021 season. So as you start to build that fantasy team for next year, and so much more. So support the podcast. Help me pay for all these good young people and their salaries and starting their lives. And we're going to use promo code FREEAGENCY30 for 30% off any sub at PFF. So we always know there's going to be some team come off the deck. It was the Cincinnati Bengals last year, make it on to the Super Bowl. Probably should have won it once Odell got hurt. Yeah, you got it. I go, oh my gosh, these guys are going to win the Super Bowl. This is going to be unbelievable. You're coming up a little bit short, but Jacksonville now has been making some bold moves, trying to get back into this thing with Trevor Lawrence. But Christian Kirk at 4 years and $72 million, I think that was the one everybody went, say what? right? He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season. He's a good player. Everybody loves him there. Anytime you talk about this kid, they all love him. He's 25 years old. He's always the quarterback's best friend every single time. Evan Engram, the tight end you talked about from the Giants, is a great athlete. He is, you know, can do some things, never broke out. Brandon Sheriff, one of the better, you know, guards that we see around the league. And so there's a lot of good things going. Could Jacksonville be a team that comes off the deck with a rookie quarterback contract?
They also have the top pick and the top pick in the second round too. You know, it's like, you know, they're 7-1 to win the division. I actually really like that bet. Titans have actually gotten longer. They were -110, -120. Now they're even money to win that division. They've hemorrhaged some players, Roger Saffold, Janoris Jenkins, you know, over the last, you know, few days. Julio Jones is getting a little older. I think Ryan Tannehill might have shown some warts last year. The Colts at +150 are probably, you know, longer than that, especially if they don't find a quarterback that they like. So, you know, the thing is, and Brad can probably back me up on this, like, I think a lot of people hate what the Jags are doing, you know, pick by pick. But like ultimately, you know, I think of it back, like when the Chiefs overpaid Sammy Watkins, it's like, sure, but you have a great quarterback on a rookie deal. So like, do those extra couple million dollars a year really matter? You're paying for a kind of a sure thing, and that sure thing might not be great, but it's manageable. And I think that a lot of people right now are down on the Jags because of the individual moves that they've made. But I think collectively what they're doing is surrounding Lawrence with talent. And so basically they've boiled it down to one bet, which is, can Trevor Lawrence be the best quarterback in that division? And I think if you look around the landscape, that's a pretty good bet, you know, given his pedigree, given what he has to go up against.
No, that's the key there for sure. And actually the analogy of the Bengals is good, because they kind of had some luck in the division. You know, Baker Mayfield gets hurt, Lamar Jackson gets hurt, the Steelers keep Big Ben, and that kind of helped them win that division. The AFC South is probably the worst division in football. So if Lawrence takes that step, some of those guys work out. You're right. I think it's definitely a good bet at 7-1 to win the division. Just a quick note on the Kirk thing, which is funny. I talked to a couple agents yesterday who said basically every deal they were negotiating with wide receivers just paused when that deal came through, and they had to just kind of reset. Both sides of the table had to kind of like get all their ducks in a row. It totally threw everything off.
You know, the thing that surprised me too is that the one position of depth in this draft is really the wide receiver position. And it seems to be every year now. It seems like year after year after year, you may not have that top end guy, but man, rounds 2 through 4, even, you're going to be able to get a player that can make a difference. And you spend that kind of money on an unproven guy. And again, I'm not banging him as a player. I think he's a pretty good player. But you know, there are going to be other people on your team go, oh, he's worth $72 million. That means I'm worth, right? I mean, that's how this game gets played to some extent.
Well, even like Foye Aluakon getting $15 million a year, and then you got to get rid of Miles Jack, a longtime Jaguar. And it's just like you reset everybody's expectations, which I think, you know, again, I think the Jaguars, if the quarterback becomes what we all thought he could be, which is a transformational player, then nothing really matters, you know, as the Chiefs have shown and stuff like that. But you know, if he's a Jared Goff type, then that is going to matter, right? Like the slack is required. You know, when McVay took over the Rams in 2017, he signed Andrew Whitworth, Robert Woods. He signed those guys, and those guys were less Christian Kirk like and more, you know, they were better gambles, right? So that's really like the thing. Like if the Jags have built in a situation where Trevor Lawrence has to be Trevor Lawrence, what we all thought he was going to be. If he's Jared Goff or Carson Wentz type, then I think they're still going to struggle, which is sort of the thing, like, you know, with rookie deal quarterbacks, you know, if you do the right thing, like maybe the Patriots did last year, then Mac Jones can just be Mac Jones. He doesn't have to be, you know, the next great thing, and you can still be successful. I think the Jaguars have sort of required now that the quarterback that they took first overall last year is worth everything.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a decent bet, right? I'll take that bet too. Jimmy Garoppolo and Trey Lance, does this have a a bachelorette kind of ending here? Are we setting up for something that nobody ever anticipated happening here at the end of this? Does Jimmy still have any hope of being the 49ers quarterback next year?
I think he might. I really do think they still like him. He obviously got the surgery and has some injury guarantees left in his deal. So he's in no rush to leave by any means. And it sounds like, you know, like what teams are left in the trade market now? Maybe Indianapolis, maybe if Carolina strikes out on Watson or whoever it may be. But yeah, he keeps sticking. And obviously, you know, they believed in Trey Lance at some point, but they clearly don't necessarily feel like he's ready as of right now.
Indianapolis strikes a nerve with me too, that, you know, okay, it didn't work out with Carson Wentz. It was a little uncomfortable. You don't want to do the same thing with a Jimmy Garoppolo, but when you look at the kind of running game they can put forth with that Colts team and that division, you just get a guy who's functional at the quarterback position. And Jimmy is like, beloved in San Francisco. I don't know, and he's the nicest guy in the world, but when you talk to those other players out there, they want him to stay on the 49ers. So you at least have that going for you if you go out and get him too.
I think that's a huge difference. I think that is that you get the full buy-in. The locker room will want to go to battle with him and want to go to war for him. And yeah, I think that is kind of what distinguishes him and Carson Wentz. They're basically the same player, you know, in a lot of ways on the field nowadays. But the difference, I think, is he just galvanizes that entire building.
Yeah, it's so crazy, though. It's like this, like the trade now for Lance just looks so bad, right? It just looks like, you know, Garoppolo is one of those quarterbacks that you need to have a structure around him, right? And giving up so many first round picks in that aim is going, like, the only reason you would do that is because you think Lance is sort of this transcendent talent that can overcome a lot of those things. And, you know, ultimately he probably isn't. I mean, most aren't. But, you know, to give up what they gave up to make that gamble, This is why, you know, trading up even for a quarterback is the gamble it is.
Tom Brady coming back. And does it make any difference at all in either one of your guys' minds that they won't have their guards, Alex Kappa and Ali Marpet retiring and Kappa getting dealt or whatever, free agent to Cincinnati? Or is Tom Brady just one of those mashers in the pocket and it just doesn't make any difference? He's not going to get sacked anyway.
I think Marpet's a big loss. I felt like he was a difference maker as much as you can be a difference maker at guard. And especially with Brady, like he needs that pocket. He that internal pressure is a more of an issue for him than edge rushers. He can kind of step up in the pocket and make plays. I think Jensen returning at center, though, is massive and just kind of keeps the interior, you know, at least in a good spot. You have good tackles on both sides. So, you know, the thing with guard, it happened again this offseason, is a lot of starting caliber players get cut. A lot of good veterans get cut. We saw it with Kevin Zeitler last year, goes to the Ravens. Like, those type of moves always come available. And I think Tampa can smartly just add some savvy veterans with a high floor. But I do think Marpet was a great player.
And they got to keep Carlton Davis, who was probably their best cornerback too. So to be able to do that, it is such an interesting time. I mean, it just is. Is there anybody in your mind that has been the big winner or the big loser so far in free agency?
It's a good question. I mean, I think you almost have to say the Colts right now, right? Like,
how about Pittsburgh? Would you put Pittsburgh in that category? It just feels like a letdown if you're a Steelers fan, if that ends up being the solution.
Yeah, I think personally, and I Brad might have laughed at me for saying this, but because it is far-fetched. I think Pittsburgh is going to make sort of a Mahomes trade to move up to get Willis. I think like it's very similar to what happened in 2017 where the coach likes him. They had their eye on him. You know, this whole process, everybody started to love him and his stock is going to move up, but I think Pittsburgh's going to move a mountain to get him. I think the hardest part for Pittsburgh fans is that last season's team wasn't very good. And because their coach is so great, they can still make the playoffs in that instance. There was some luck, obviously Baltimore's injuries, Cleveland's injuries as well. But I actually think like, Pittsburgh fans have pretty sober expectations for this year. And so if they come out of this offseason with Willis, I think most people are going to be okay with that.
And so you're saying Trubisky is that one-year fix-it, and then they're going to hand it off to some rookie, whoever that may be.
I think that, yeah. And they have enough young, like, I think Trubisky is the Alex Smith in this case. And, like, you know, kind of that mobile, you know, not perfect player, but, you know, good enough. I mean, Trubisky's eight or nine games over 500 as a quarterback. He's very like, you know, Alex Smith in that way, or Alex Smith won 66% of his games in KC or something like that. And like, that'll be the 1 year bridge. I think Willis is very much a sit for 1 year type of guy. And then Pittsburgh rebuilds the thing, right? Like, you know, they got old quickly on defense again. And it's like the third time under Tomlin that's happened. And I think that they use this year to sort of replenish and allow some of the AFC North to breathe a little bit, right? Like, find out what happens in Cleveland, find out what happens in Baltimore. Baltimore's not getting any better. I know they just signed Marcus Williams like a few minutes ago, but they're not necessarily getting better. They have to make the Lamar decision pretty soon. So I think Pittsburgh takes a year off. And I think most of their fans are fine with that. I mean, they've been blessed with a Big Ben for 15 years. I think they realize sort of how the process works.
No, Eric, yeah. I agree with you. I think a trade is coming. I don't think the Trubisky move precludes that at all. It's the last year for GM Kevin Colbert. He's been there for about 20 years. He's the only GM in Steelers history. I think he's going to make a splash on the way out, just like Ozzie Newsome did in Baltimore when they got Lamar Jackson. I still don't know if it's a great, you know, if I'm a huge fan of their free agency so far, but, you know, I don't think it's too dire. Like you said, it's probably more of an expectations versus reality thing. As for winners, I think teams we talk about the whole podcast, I think the Chargers and the Bengals did what teams have recently done when their rookie contract quarterback is going into the third season. Oftentimes, and I expect both of these guys in Burrow and Herbert to get massive extensions after next season. These teams spend a ton, like you said, bolster the defense after focusing on offensive line and weapons. And I think JC Jackson at $16.5 million is a discount. They've both done well, I think, in how they've approached free agency.
Yeah. The only thing that makes you hesitate is that it's the Chargers. Right? How many times? Yep. I mean, I feel like since I've gotten to PFF and we've all worked together, all of us at one time or another has just fallen in love with the Chargers off season. And then it's like, I can't believe I did that again, you know? But it does feel like when you know, we didn't even talk about Derwin James. I mean, this team is loaded right now. I mean, yeah, you got to stay healthy. You got to do all that stuff. But I still think Khalil Mack could have a monster year in him. Bosa with balance on the other side could have a monster year. You take J.C. Jackson in the man-to-man kind of situation and allow the Derwin James to focus in on a tight end, and all of a sudden now maybe you've got the answer for playing Kansas City. You know, so there's just a lot of different things to like about what's going on with that football team right now, too. So, well, it is going to be very interesting. It will keep being interesting, as it always is. And gentlemen, as always, you're the best. I really enjoy having the conversation. And because sometimes you feel like your head's going to explode if you don't say some of this stuff out loud.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a lot of fun.